Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Rue, and you're listening to Human Potential at Work. I'm excited to have Paige Mayer joining me today and Doug Foresta, my producer and my mentor. And we are going to be talking about really the digital divide. What happens when you have children sometimes that know more about technology than you do? Or what happens when we're trying to understand these wonderful new devices and social media and internet, and how do they impact our children? And as somebody that has been greatly impacted by this topic in a positive and negative way, I'm looking forward to the conversation. I wanted Doug Foresta, who joins often on the program, to join the program because Doug is the father of two children, a son and a little baby girl. And it's just interesting as he walks this path with me. And the reason why we ask, and it'll be very clear why we asked Paige to join, but Paige is part of a company that has a pretty amazing app called Our Pact, P-A-C-T. And I've actually talked about this program, I mean, this application on the program before, and I'm a user, a paid user of this app because it has brought some peace in my family, and peace is really good. So Doug and Paige, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Deborah.
And Paige, will you introduce yourself to the audience?
Definitely. So my name is Paige. I'm joining from Our Pact. We develop a mobile app, as Deborah said, that allows parents or guardians to manage mobile devices, iOS and Android. So yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's been a few year journey, but we're making progress.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, I don't ever make it a commercial, but this application has brought peace in my family. I have talked about this before. I have a daughter that is now 30 years old, and she was born with Down syndrome, and she is a very savvy tech user. A lot of times, a lot more savvy than I am. And she has, we have really been challenged by issues in our household. And Doug, I know that you've been on the program many times, but can you tell the audience a little bit about who you are and also just introduce your children? Because this is a topic that we're talking about parenting from, we're looking at this sure. from the parenting perspective.
Absolutely. So, yep, I am Doug Foresta. I'm the producer of Human Potential at Work. I do podcast producing by my background is I have a MSW, a master's in social work. So I'm also a licensed therapist and did that for many years. And I have two children. Yes. One is my son, Sam, who's 12, and Ellie, who is 9 months. And fortunately right now, at least for Ellie, her the biggest problem I have is she tries to eat my phone. I do have trouble with my electronics, but they're a little bit more manageable problems.
Yeah, and so let me tell the update in people if you haven't heard this story. Let me just give you a little story about how I got to Our Pact, and I noticed that my daughter, which, you know, she's 30 years old. She's an adult, and she has a Apple device, and she's very good at it. She's very good on it. She loves technology, but I started noticing some, not only some severe behavior problems, but I actually started seeing her having some mental health problems, depression, anxiety, a little bit of hostility. I remember an episode in the bathroom where I was trying to take her device away from her, and we actually got in a little wrestling match. And I thought, oh my gosh, how am I here? I'm supposed to be a better parent than this. And so I started realizing that I needed to do something to limit her time on the computer, on the device, on social media, on the internet. She never was going any place inappropriate. She was sometime making posts that were, I would prefer that she didn't make, like she did little silly things like she ate a strawberry and it dripped down her mouth. And so she posted that she was the queen of the vampires. And, you know, it's, you know, she loves Twilight and all those different things, but I just had some friends going, that's sort of, anyway. So, it was interesting. And so we decided to do a search to try to figure out, is there anything out there that can help me so that I'm actually not always the bad guy having to go and wrestle my daughter's device out of her hand, which you can see how that could go wrong. And I remember confiding in Doug saying, I've lost control of the situation with the devices and I'm trying to put limits on it, but we're actually having, it just was causing a lot of stress in the family. And Doug told me about a story with his, at the time, 11-year-old son getting lost on the bus. I don't know, Doug, if you want to talk about how you introduced a device to your son at an early age.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So, he didn't actually have a cell phone. We didn't have a cell phone for him, but maybe 6 months ago or something like that. He was supposed to come home on the bus and he didn't get off on the stop, which it's the last stop. So I don't know how he managed to miss the last stop, but for anyway, he didn't. I love 12-year-old boys. And so we couldn't reach him. And of course, his mom and I were freaking out. So we ended up at that point, we ended up getting him a phone. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. And that's a very natural point at which often phones are introduced as a safety measure.
Right.
You want to be able to reach your child at any given moment. It's just figuring out how to strike that balance between being able to communicate with your child and know where they are, contact them at any given moment, but at the same time, set a limit on all of the other stuff that can come into play when you give your child a device and they don't necessarily have the maturity to manage that.
That's right.
Which is a great point, Paige, because this is new to society. We didn't have these same issues when I was growing up or, when Doug was growing up. And so now, and you had said something, Paige, before we started the interview that I thought was very interesting about digital natives and about children actually sometimes being more digitally savvy than their parents. So how are their parents supposed to put limits on it? So do you mind speaking more on that?
Certainly. As I was saying, this is the first generation where parents aren't natives in something that their children are natives in. And so a lot of the listeners will be familiar with this struggle, but you have a child who's teaching their parent how to use their device. They're teaching their parent how to do all these shortcuts on their computer. And so then that presents this really unique challenge for parents where they're trying to control something and set limits on this technology, but their children know how to get around those limits or they know how to use the technology more than their parents do. And so that's when parents need to have tools in their tool belt that they can have working in their favor. And it's really, really important for them to be educated on what they can do, what they should be doing. There aren't many rules. There isn't a rule book for this. And so a lot of parents are just kind of learning as they go.
Yep. That's what's happening in my family. How about you, Doug?
most definitely. And, it's not just, if people think, I just won't let my kid have a phone or something. It's not that easy because so last week we had to go to the school and they just informed us that every child from K through 12 will be getting their own laptop in the city that we live in. It will follow them for as long as, as long as the computer is relevant. Year to year, they will take it with them. They will have to take it every night and charge it and be responsible for it. And what they said is, more and more, the reason we're doing this is because every single job that these children will do when they grow up requires computer literacy. And so, we would be remiss if we don't teach children how to use computers. And, I wonder, I think that something like RPACT is so powerful because, it's kind of like electricity, electricity can be very, very dangerous, right? I don't recommend jumping on a power line, but you can't go back, right? You can't just say, let's go back to the old days when we had lanterns and it doesn't work. There's no going back. So the devices, the internet is here to stay. And I think as parents, and not just parents, I'm sure there's a lot of other people who use RPACT rather than just parents, but certainly for parents, we have to figure out how to help our children navigate this safely.
Yeah, it's so true. Just as you said, we're in a landscape now where if you aren't comfortable with technology and you aren't able to harness the power of technology, then you're at a disadvantage, especially when you're looking 10 years from now, 20 years from now. It's going to be the children who know how to code. It's going to be the children who are familiar with system technology, information technology. They're going to be the people who have opportunities. And that is something that a lot of parents can struggle with because it's scary. A lot of parents don't want to give over a device. They don't want to give over a computer because it makes them feel powerless. But at the same time, understanding that there is so much good that can come from this technology, it's really, really important to just figure out how, at the end of the day, to control that technology instead of letting it control you. And as long as you can get that down, you can nail that, then all the good can come out and you're in control of the bad. So,
yeah, I agree. I agree.
Deborah, I'm wondering, I just want to interject a second. I'm wondering if we could say a little bit about some of the specific features that RPACT offers so people can get a better sense of, you know, what we're talking about in terms of what can be done.
I agree. But before we do that, I just want to tell the story of how I found RPACT.
So
I mentioned that we did some research to figure out what is out there. How could we handle this? And there were different apps that were available. And the thing that I liked about RPACT is that it was really something that I was going to do with my daughter. I wasn't just going to say, this is what you're going to do and you're going to obey me. It was something that we could do together. And I know there are other things out there, but I have found the app to be just... Don't you love when an app really, really makes a difference? And this one really does. And so there were a lot of things that I liked about what the app was going to do to help my daughter be successful and our family to be successful. So Paige, tell us more about RPACT, why it was created, where you're going with it, how many users you have. Once again, we wanted to talk about this not just as a big commercial for RPACT. I just am a huge fan, obviously. But it has really brought some peace to my family. But it is a fascinating subject because I don't know anyone that's not dealing with. I have a friend of mine that's a fifth grade teacher, and she said, teaching students is so much different now than it used to be. I have a friend that's a college professor. The college professor said, it has totally changed the dynamics of my classroom. This is a huge issue. I also have done a lot of studies because Doug and I are going to write a book about this. And I have found that they say that a young person's brain is more susceptible to addiction than somebody that's older to these devices. So there's some major societal problems here. So Paige, tell us more about how y'all came into this field.
Definitely. So, just to kind of rewind to the beginning, the company was initially actually started by a father. So he worked in software, he had other software solutions, and he was, at the end of the day, trying to go home to his family and have family meals and enjoy his time that he wasn't working. And he was encountering this struggle over and over and over again with his two younger daughters. He was trying to control their technology, but he also was of the parenting model where he wanted to work with them. And he didn't want to be enforcing these limits. He wanted it to be agreements that they were coming to together so that his daughters would understand, this isn't me doing this to punish you or to, you know, create turmoil. This is at the end of the day because I'm trying to help you and we are making these agreements together, so I expect you to adhere to them. And so it actually all started with a contract that he wrote with his two daughters that just said, you know what, during bedtime, I am not allowed to use my device. At family meals, I'm not allowed to use my device. When my parents ask me to put my device away, I will put it away. I'm only allowed to use social media for 2 hours a day. You know, they had this whole list of things that they were all agreeing on. And then they signed it and they posted it on the fridge. And one morning, he's looking at this contract, this family contract that they created. And he thought, why don't I create an application that can actually enforce these boundaries that we've agreed upon, so that instead of me having to berate my daughters and say, hey, put your device away, don't you remember our contract? It's bedtime, give me your phone. The technology would just do it for him, so that it would remove the struggle. It would remove that element of the conflict from the entire equation. And that's kind of the basis of where our application grew from. And we're still true to that model to this day, that we don't even call our pact a parental control. We call it a mobile guidance solution. So this is something that we expect parents to introduce to their children and develop the rules and restrictions with their children. So when you install this app, we actually have an RPACT family contract still to this day. I can share that with you after this podcast, Deborah, to share with your community. But yeah, just making those limits with your children, creating the block schedule. So, okay, what do you think is a reasonable time for your device to be blocked? Okay, what time do you think is reasonable for the device to become unblocked? What do you think is a reasonable screen time allowance for you to have during the week? How about the weekend? And when you involve your children in these conversations, they are so much more likely to actually listen and participate and adhere to those rules that you're setting. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going on a bit of a monologue, but if I'm going to talk a little bit about the features themselves, there are a lot of different options for managing with RPACT. We have manual blocks, so you can set up timed blocks. That's kind of just on-the-fly management. So let's say dinner's ready, you want the family to come down for a meal, you can set a one-hour block on the fly, and it'll kick in, and all apps will be removed. Then you have automated schedules, so those kick in at the same time and at the same time. You choose the days of the week, whether that's bedtime, school hours, a weekly tutorial session, just the consistent structure around the screen time. So those are just kind of set and forget. And then you have selective app rules, so you can go through and see a list of all the apps that are installed on your child's device and then choose to block them according to three rules. You can leave them always allowed. So if you have a health-related application or an educational app that you want your child to have access to, you can leave that. And then you can choose to leave apps always blocked. So that could be, a lot of parents block the app store, for example, at all times. And then that way, anytime your child wants to actually install a new application, they have to come to you and say, hey, I want to install this new app. Okay, I'm going to unblock the app store for a minute. We're going to install it together. I'm going to check out what this application is so that you're involved in that process. And then the final is just blocked by RPACT. So that's social media, games, messaging applications, anything that you want to be available, but only sometimes. And then finally, we have allowance, which that basically allows you to set a daily time limit, whether that's 2 hours a day during the week, 3 hours a day on the weekend. And then it becomes your child's responsibility to actually manage that time independently, which is huge because it gives them a sense of responsibility. It allows you to build trust and they feel in control that you can say, okay, you have 2 hours a day. And keep in mind, this is outside of schedule or manual block time. So you're still in control. But, you know, during those free time allotments that you've set, your child can go into an application on their device and play their screen time. All their apps will unblock, come back to their device. They can use them. They have to pause their time to save it. You can adjust the allowance based off of behavior. It's really, really, really powerful. And then I guess on top of all of that, we have a geolocation monitor. So we do family location as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's great.
Sorry
for talking so long.
No, not at all. Because what I have been surprised about is I understand my daughter has Down syndrome and that she has an intellectual disability and that the way she processes information is different from the way I process information. And so I saw with her just being able to be on her phone anytime she wanted, because she's a 30-year-old, right? That I started seeing really significant behavior changes. And not only did I see it, but my friend started noticing it. She didn't want to work. She did not want to do anything but play on her device. And I started thinking about my son when he was younger, and he wanted to do that with his games, his gaming systems, his Ataris, his PlayStations. And so I think this, the negative aspect of technology, the ability, us to get addicted to technology. We do have to have tools. And I use Our Pact, obviously. I've been using it, and I am a paid subscriber. And I remember at one point, I was using it for about a year. I used the free version. And then I decided to upgrade, not for additional features, but because I was so grateful to Our Pact that I actually just upgraded because I wanted to reward whoever it was that had built this app. And then, of course, I started using them. I have multiple schedules set down so that it's blocking it during the day. But what's interesting, you have the ability to grant for as long as I say, or block for as long as I say, and it overrides the schedules. And so what my daughter, because she's so smart, what she would do is every chance she would get, she'd grab my device and she would go to our pact and she would grant it so that it was granted automatically, you know, forever. I forget what I see it all the time, but granted until I say so, I think is what it is. But I wouldn't know that. So I would start noticing her behavior getting worse. Yeah. And I would look at my phone and I would see that she had gone in and, you know, granted herself permissions. So I talked to her about it and I said, Sarah, okay, we agreed. We have it, you know, but it's interesting because some of this is about truly addictive behavior. And my daughter, she, you know, I don't think I've been around a lot of addictions in my life, but she just is jonesing for that device. And so I've actually had to go even a little bit further than Our Pact now. And I have taken her device away from her, except for 2 hours in the evenings. And it's interesting what happened with that, because all of a sudden she's socializing with us. She's talking to her dad. This is a really huge problem. And I don't know if it impacts somebody with an intellectual disability different from another brain. But I don't think as society, we have totally figured out how to use these devices and access to information every second of the day and whatever information you want. Doug, you want to?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think even as adults, I have to look up the source of this, but I stand by this, but I can find the source of it. But I noticed that I had read that the average American swipes their phone over 2,000 times per day. So the average amount of touches that we swipe our phone is over 2,000 times per day. No, and it's you think about that, that's pretty wild. I mean, so, you know, we talk about addiction. I certainly think it's compulsive behavior. Whether it's truly an addiction, we can argue maybe it's not truly an addiction, but it certainly is compulsive. And I know for my son, I mean, you know, I think what's really important about this conversation and about an app like Our Pact is, you know, in every other area, we have had to develop child safety, some type of child safety mechanisms, right? I mean, in cars, we have child locks. Yeah. You know, we have even just the way to start a car is not easy, right? It's intended that children can't just, hit the gas and start going. And I think what's happened with the internet and with mobile devices, we got ahead. It seems to me like the technology got ahead of our ability to manage it. And I think as parents, I mean, I can say this for myself as someone that I feel like I'm a fairly technologically literate person. I'm on the computer all day long. I feel very comfortable with technology. But yet I still was struggling with how do I deal with this? So, I think that the idea that we need to have and we need to talk about what are the mechanisms that we're going to help children and perhaps, you know, people with intellectual disabilities and ourselves, you know, regulate and moderate usage.
Yeah. Well, and I think that circling back to something that you kind of touched on there for a second, Deborah. One thing that is really important to keep in mind about children, and a lot of children also with developmental challenges or learning disabilities, is that there's an issue with impulsivity. So they aren't able to set those limits themselves. They need to have those limits enforced. I actually had a really interesting conversation this past week with a mother and digital parenting expert named Alexandra Samuel. I actually recommend listeners to check her out. She's brilliant. And she has a son who's on the autism spectrum disorder. And so this has been a huge challenge for her, because her son is just drawn to technology. It's something that he's just, you know, totally in tune with. And so for her, it's one of those situations where she feels like every single day there's just a back and forth. They're needing to come to agreements about this and that. And so for her to have one of those arguments, I think I mentioned this before, but, you know, have one of those arguments leave the table and be able to make her son feel as though he's in control of the technology, as opposed to the technology being in control of him. You know, he plays and pauses his allowance. He controls the amount of time that he's on his device. He has to really stop and think, okay, do I want to go on my device and use up my time right now? Or would I rather be using this time to do something else? And encouraging children, especially who might have that just inclination towards technology and maybe an aversion to social situations more, encouraging that online, offline balance of, okay, this is your unplugged time. You can't just have technology at all hours. You need to be able to go outside, be in nature, connect with other children, connect with other teenagers. And that's really, really, really important.
Yeah, I agree. And Paige, you were also telling us before we started the show how many users, and I was really surprised at the number. So would you tell us? Because obviously Doug and I aren't the only one. And I know there's a lot of people are making comments right now on Facebook, and we definitely are going to be replying to those. But this is a pretty significant issue.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we have users all over the world, and we actually did our best to keep the application free for as long as possible, because at the end of the day, we saw this as just a resource that we wanted to share. But yeah, we have, I think, almost 1 million managed child devices, or not even child. Coming back again to the fact that, you know, a lot of adults use this. I use this on myself. And we, a lot of people in our office use it on themselves. We have young professionals all the time who are reaching out saying, hey, I'm using your app to block myself during work. Or, you know, it's very, very diverse. We have, it's really, really interesting.
It's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I think it goes to that whole thing about truly it's like, I think of it like any other technology, that like fire or, you know, anything that is powerful, any powerful technology. You know, I think of the story of Icarus, you know, and Deborah, you talk about mindfulness too, right? That, you know, just being able to be mindful, because we can, boy, it can be a time suck. I know for myself too, you turn around, you're like, oh my God, what have I been doing for the last 3 hours?
Yeah. And it's so easy to do that. And I find myself doing it too. And I'll be really tired or low energy, and I just get on there and I look up and 2 hours have passed. And I thought, oh, geez, Deborah. And so it isn't just about children. But I also want to say something that I just think is interesting. Paige, you talk about you wanted to keep it free for so long. I am definitely showing my age here, but I pay $1.99 a month. So we're not talking about big bucks here, guys. I think, the top one, which I'm going to upgrade to, is like $6.99 a month. And for the peacefulness in my family, I would pay you so much more than that.
It's insane. We have parents that are reaching out to us all the time. We have a virtual bulletin where we share the positive feedback that we get from parents. And we, even before we became a free or a paid application, which we needed to do just to keep things moving in the right direction. I mean, a lot of people, I think, assume that we might be developing out of a garage, but we have a huge team of people. Everyone has their role, and we're just there's a reason why the application is as good as it is. But, you know, when we were a free application, we literally had parents regularly reaching out to us and saying, I love your application so much. I don't know how this is free, but let me make a donation to your company. Yeah. I mean, that's
the way I felt.
Every single day, parents just saying, you have no idea how much this application has changed my life. And most of our marketing is word of mouth. It's just parents in the parking lot saying, have you used this application before? It's changed everything. And so I think that in and of itself speaks a lot.
And I think once again, it's not just for parents, because we as individuals are learning this too. And mm-hmm. so I do want to be mindful during the day. And I find that when I'm on my devices and I work in technology, but I do start getting anxious when I'm on it too long. And there's a reason why. I don't think our brains are made to just stare at these devices all day long. So I just think this is a very, very critical topic, and a topic that I'm starting to see more people talk about. You know, step away, be more mindful, meditate, go outside and play, which is for all of us. But the thing, there's so many reasons why our pact has helped my family, but it got to be a very negative situation with me constantly fighting with my daughter. And I thought, I don't want to be in a fight with my daughter all the time. And I don't want to always be the bad guy either. I sort of want her to like me, you know?
Sort of.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let the application be the bad guy. That's the key, is you just do it. And if you involve your kid, and then you just, hey, it's not me, it's the application.
Right, we agreed, remember?
Well, what I like about it too is the fact that it is called our pact, and it actually, there really isn't a bad guy. I like the fact that it's also, hey, this is an agreement, you know? Yeah. This is. I mean, that's a great, you know, whether it's agreement with yourself or an agreement with your child or an agreement with your coworker, that it's more about, hey, we agreed to set this limit, and the application forces you to stick to it, but it's really an agreement.
It's also interesting. We hear a lot from children. Of course, we have some who reach out and they get fans of us, but we have children every once in a while reach out and say, hey, you guys aren't that bad. I actually kind of like having these limits in place. This is nice. And I have an excuse to tell my friends, hey, you know what? After 8 p.m., my phone's blocked. I won't be able to talk. And then I get to hang out and relax. And you know, it's interesting because, and even parents, they'll tell us all the time. As soon as I introduced it, there was a little bit of pushback at first, but once we remained consistent with it, and that's another key, is consistency. Once we kind of established that this is not going anywhere anytime soon, my children just accepted it, and now they love it because it's balance for them. At the end of the day, it's healthy, and you feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paige, I think I told Doug this story, but I had done this with my daughter. We sat down and had a talk, and, you know, she, not that she had a choice, but she, you know, she agreed to it. And about 2 weeks into this, and I use it faithfully. As a matter of fact, because my daughter's so smart, I actually take our application and I move it around on my phone in different folders so she can't find it so fast. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But I remember she had had just a wonderful day. And I thought, I'm going to reward her for being such, you know, just doing so well today. So I went into her room and I said, Sarah, you did so great today. I'm going to extend your bedtime for 30 minutes and I'll turn the app on. So, you know, I'll adjust it so you can have access to everything. And she said, no, thanks, Mom. I'm tired. And I was like, oh, this is working. This is working. So I'm we're not talking a lot of money here. And of course, we want our pact to stay in business because we need something to keep ourselves and our children and our family members healthy. We really do. But Paige, tell the audience how they can find out about our pact.
Definitely. So you can find us at ourpact.com. That's OURPACT.com. You can check out what it's all about at that website, and you can actually sign up for an account. Or you can find us in the iOS App Store or the Google Play Store. The way it works is you first sign up for your account on the parent end or the guardian end. And once you've signed up, you then pair your child devices. And when you pair your child devices, you're kind of just guided through the whole process from step A to Z once you sign up for your account. You actually install a child application onto the managed device. And so that communicates when the scheduled blocks are, if there is a block, a manual block in place, explaining when that's going to expire. And if you're on the premium tier of management, it also enables for the tracking of the device and also for allowance, managing the allowance time with a play and pause.
And I'll also say that there was one time when I wanted to be a little bit more sophisticated with the application, and I wanted to do these creative schedules, and I found that their customer service was excellent. It was just excellent. That's one way that I found out about Paige, because I was trying to figure out how to, you know, continue to do it so that I was trying to figure out what the number is. Because when does my daughter's, and of course it's different depending on every day, but she gets mesmerized by the device. Is it at an hour and a half? Is it at 2 hours? I was trying to figure that out. And so I went to our PACT to ask some questions, and I found that the customer service was excellent. So kudos, Paige, to you and your team for that too. Because sometimes you don't get that with apps. And I sort of don't even expect to get that kind of excellent customer service for something that I'm paying so little for that's providing so much value. But I just think this is a really, really critical topic. And I know Doug was walking this, and I just really, really believe in Our PACT. But also, I think regardless of whether you choose to use something like Our PACT to try to manage these situations, we all need to be aware that we put our children a little bit more at risk if we're not watching this.
Right.
And
I couldn't agree more. And I mean, there's no harm in checking it out. We do also offer, just to mention, a 1 week free trial. So you can sign up and pair your child devices, get a feel for it. And if it's something, you know, it's not necessarily going to work out for everyone, but for most people, it probably will. And I think that it's one of those things a lot of parents say, I didn't even know that this existed. And then once I had it, I literally felt like a superhero. It's crazy. So it's definitely important to set those boundaries. There's not much negative that can come from it.
I agree. And once again, as Doug was saying, it's Our PACT. So we're doing it as a family together, or you're doing it for yourself as an individual. So Doug, thank you again for joining with your wisdom. And Paige, we love you and we love Our PACT. And thank you for making my home a little bit more peaceful. I am so grateful for that.
It's our pleasure. We're so glad that we've found you and you found us. This is what it's all about. We're happy to be helping.
Yes. And so once again, it's www.ourpact.com. But we also will put all that out on the show and make sure you have the links. But very important conversation to be having. And I thank everybody and all the comments that people made on Facebook too. And I will talk to everybody next time. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Human Potential at Work with Deborah Rue. To learn more about Deborah and how she can help your organization, visit RueGlobal.com. If you've enjoyed today's episode and you want to make sure that you don't miss any future episodes, go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast, Human Potential at Work. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with a new episode.